This episode of TMS is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 20% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code MORNING9. Coming up on TMS, the Johnsons have bitten off more than they can chew.
Google Street View is crazy dangerous.
Subway accepts fake 9/11 coupons.
Aw, Billy Connolly is recovering.
Miley and Liam end their engagement.
Fitness geek.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
My real country sauce is the best you ever tried. Look for me on the label of Tennessee Pride. It's real country sauce, it's yes siree. The secret of the goodness is the recipe. But before this song is done all played, Mr. Odom will tell you how it's made.
Well, we start with fresh meat that's really grand. Pure whole hog pork, the best in the land. Then we add a dash of X and a pinch of Z. And for flavor and taste, we add Y9D. A touch of Odom magic blends all three. That's the secret of the secret recipe.
You shall have no treaty, no vaccine,
no sloppy holes,
and no Lieutenant Yar.
The Morning Stream. We just wanted more fish. They wouldn't give us any more fish.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. No sloppy hose, Brian. No sloppy hose. Listen to you, all timed with me and everything because you're on a better Skype connection. Amazing.
More or less, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, September 17th, 2013. My gosh, where's September going?
I know. I couldn't believe it yesterday or day before when Tina's like, oh, no, it's the 15th. Yeah. Well, you're kidding. We're already half done with September?
Yeah.
You know, now we're more than half done with September.
This theory that time speeds up as you get older, I think actually has some validity to it.
Well, it's that you spend less time as an adult waiting for the next thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not sitting there going, oh, gosh, in like 3 months it'll be my birthday and, oh, I can't wait for da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, oh, yeah, I missed such and such. I forgot to send a card out to so-and-so. And, you know, you're busy thinking about the deadlines that are passing or have passed.
Yeah, and think about the last time you were bored. When was that?
Right. Oh, God.
I can't think of when.
No.
I'm not bored anymore. As a kid, I'm so bored. Like, you always felt like there was something better going on or you were missing something or something was happening. Now I'm just, like, too busy to be bored.
Right.
And I think it's boredom that drives kids to act like time is slow. That's what I think.
Yeah. So if you're sitting there, if you're maybe young, one of our younger listeners, and you're sitting there going, oh God, you know, once TMS is done, I'm so bored. Don't worry. That feeling won't last long.
Nope. Pretty soon you get to the point where 3 years feels like 3 months, and you saw a guy 2 years ago and you saw him again and it was as if you saw him last week. Like, those kinds of things start happening. Whereas, you know, when you're a young kid, I mean, put yourself back in 15-year-old mullet wearing Brian Ibbett's pants.
All right.
Okay. And you're standing there and somebody says to you, hey, I'm going to be gone for a year. To you, that's like, oh my gosh, the longest time ever. How could that be? That is 1/15 of my life, right? But then you get older and it's nothing. If somebody says I'm leaving for a year, you're like, okay, I got a lot to do between now and then. So I'll see. I got to get going. And then they get back and like, that was a year, shite. That felt like a day. So, I don't know. Can't explain it, but there you have it. Part of growing up.
Yeah.
Part of living. It's part of life.
Yeah, so people grow up.
Yeah. It's like roadkill and roadkill and potato chips. All part of life.
It's all part of life. There are two inevitabilities in life, roadkill and potato chips.
Right. Never in the same place, though. Come on now. Hey, check this out. So, rough week for me. Well, rough 10 days, let's say, because here's a few things going on. I've got two sick kids. Mm-hmm. Carter and Nick are both. Nick is sick enough to be home. Like, genuinely, it's not his usual, like, I don't feel good, like that. It's like he's actually sick. So he's in there coughing up a lung and, you know, just chest congestion, horrible, dizzy, whatever, all that stuff. Probably some mutated offspring of my strep a couple of weeks ago, for all I know. Mm-hmm. And Carter's a little further along in the same disease, but she is so like the school needs her so bad right now. She's a huge part of what they call Thunder Vision, which is like their TV thing and their newspaper stuff and all that.
Oh, okay. Right. Like they're the way they probably do some sort of morning thing at the beginning of every day with a little news program and all this in the rooms.
They start with a little commercial and then they say a lot of penis jokes. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of our show. sorry, I got it confused. So she's real busy with that, and it's great. It's good, good experience for her, and she's the creative type, so they rely on her for a lot of things and all that stuff. So she's been just muscling through and dealing with it, but she's been sick. Top it off, we're trying to sell the house, right? Mm-hmm. So you got that whole thing going on, the back and forth, the agents here, the agents there. We've got an offer. Now they've backed out. Oh, great. Well, there's another people coming by. Great. Let's scrape Nick off his bed and get him out of the house for a half an hour. This kind of stuff. And then to top it all off, we had forgotten months ago that Kim had committed to her sister, Julie, different sister than Sarah, and her husband, that while they went to Taiwan for a work thing, we would watch their three kids, the fourth being watched by Sarah, the infant, which is probably the worst of all because that one doesn't sleep. But these other ones sleep. So we got to watch three other kids for 10 straight days while trying to sell the house.
While all this other stuff is going on.
Oh, I don't know why we bite off so much more than we can freaking chew around here. And it's not that, look, it's family, so you do what you do. Like, of course we're going to help them. But you forget that you committed to it. The timing's all weird. We didn't, when we committed to that, we weren't putting the house on the market yet. So it's all just a jumble fart. And here's the other big, here's the stinker. So if this works out the way we want it to, we think we're going to move the weekend before BlizzCon.
Oh, no.
Which sucks in its own right. That already sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have a sneaking suspicion. And I keep, man, Kim's like, you've got to quit thinking about it this way. And I'm like, I'm trying hard, honey. I'm trying not to think of it this way. But you know how stuff goes. It's going to end up being I can't do that. Yeah. I have to go for reasons I can't even say on the show. I have an NDA hanging over me over something I'm supposed to do. So all of this stuff, Brian, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with it. I mean, you wallow in your own filth and you watch Breaking Bad and then it's worse.
I tell you watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I did. Man, that was, I saw it yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. That's an insane episode. Yeah. That's maybe the best thing they've ever done and maybe the most horrifying episode I've ever seen.
And we can't even say anything.
Well,
about
I went back. Here's the thing. I went back in my head and I went, was it as hardcore as I thought it was at the time? Because I started to break them out mathematically. All right, well, what were the moments that really gave me pause? Mm-hmm. And there was a handful. I'm not spoiling anything here, but there's a handful of season-ending qualities to different scenes. Like they had multiple scenes that could have been entire episodes or main scenes in other episodes, right?
Sure, sure.
So you see those and you go, shite, oh, shite, shite!
The whole Jane incident. I mean, we can say it like that.
Sure, that counts, yes.
A defining moment.
That kid... I won't say too much, but the kid, yes. Other stuff. Many other times in the show have they done things like this. But they had like five in one episode. And they were all super, at the time, felt like, oh my gosh, my whole world's exploding. Mm-hmm. And then later I thought back and I went, there was nothing. I realized it's the skill of these writers and these directors and these actors on display. It isn't so much that the material is at its core super hardcore or anything. It's the way they make it.
Yeah.
The tone of it and the skill involved is just freaking mind-blowing. And the guy that directed it, that was Rian Johnson. He's the writer and director of Brick.
Right. Oh, God, that was such a great movie. Looper. It does a lot of stuff with Gordon-Levitt, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Sure does. Did Looper. Mm-hmm. Did, what was the one before Looper? The something brothers, the something brothers.
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, everyone loves that movie, and I can't think of what it's called. And he's working on some amazing new thing. But, man, what a guy. And he's done a couple other episodes. But what a guy to get to do your pivotal moments. You know?
Yeah, but boy, the pressure on him is like, Ryan, we'd like you to direct the penultimate episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Have fun. Here's the things that need to happen in there. Knock yourself out.
Sure. Good luck to you, buddy. Well, actually, we have two more. So what would you call that? Third to last?
Oh, two more? I thought...
No, we got two more. That was the third to last. So we got one this week, one next week.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's only one more Dexter.
I have a prediction, but I'm not going to say it on the air, what I think is going to happen. Because the name of next week's episode... Mm-hmm. is the name of a town in New Hampshire. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, the name of the episode was Granite City, right?
Granite City, yeah. Which is the New Hampshire flash-forward town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby.
Mm-hmm.
The Brothers Bloom, there you go.
Brothers Bloom, okay, yeah.
And then he's got the Looper there, and he's the quality filmmaker, that guy. So anyway, it was fantastic. I didn't mean to even talk about it. But
yeah. Anyway, yeah, we were talking. I don't even know.
The point is, my life is chaos right now. But there's also a piece of me that's having a really good time with it, and I can't quite explain that because normally this stuff would just stress me out to no end.
Well, here's what it is: it's the fact that you know what? There's this wave coming,
mm-hmm.
and you can see it, and it's starting to swell. The water is starting to swell.
Yeah.
All you can do is you can either ride the wave, or you can get washed underneath it. So.
Zen this master of it, everybody. I like it. Look at you once again showing me that I can turn this bucket of sludge into a box of cookies. It's not bad. I mean, what these aren't huge problems. The fact that we can move and do it in a way that ends up having a less of a payment when we're done. I mean, a lot of people can't do that. So we're, you know, we should be grateful that we put ourselves in a position where we can do that smoothly. It's great to have nieces and nephews and be a force in their life. So we should, it's all glass full, man. It's all glass full. Kids getting sick. Hey, that's immune system for the future, baby.
Right. Exactly. It's going to make them stronger.
Yeah. And it's just hard for, I think it's harder for me because my kids very rarely ever get sick. It's just super rare. Everyone else's kids, you know, 10 cases of whatever per summer. And my kids just don't get sick. It's super rare. I probably could count 3 times in the last 5 years, either of them or even any of the 3 of them have been ill to any degree. And so this stuff is harder because you're just not used to it. And I don't know if it's because Kim just fed them full of broccoli and oatmeal and shit while they were growing up. I don't know. I don't know what happened there, but healthy bunch. So when they get sick, they get real sick and you're like, oh, damn it. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about you. Still internetless, except you're using your neighbor's.
Yeah, so plenty of internet, really. If all things considered, I've got internet coming out the wazoo because it's more than we get from our provider, our typical provider.
Mm. Do you sit in like a lazy boy and go, and your wife go, honey, and you go, internet, because you got internet coming out the wazoo?
No, we have dogs. I blame the dog.
All right, every time.
That's an easy, that's an easier. Oh, Ruby, darn it, you mutt.
I've got a cat now, right? A little one that's in the house. His name is, her name rather is Dax because last year, what's his name? I've heard a few guys' name. Fry got taken.
Right. Just disappeared.
Just disappeared. Yeah. Gone. We never found a body, never found a trace, nothing. We don't know what happened there. So we got this little kitty named Dax. She's awesome. She's really cute and awesome. But man, can she crack off the devil farts?
What? Really?
Oh.
Cat.
I think it's because she's sneaking Daisy food. She's eating the dog's food occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
And she'll be laying on my chest or something at night, look up at me and go, meow. And I'll be like, oh, you're so, what the hell just happened in here? Like that bad. So bad. Like, man, like giant hobo fart. It's so bad.
Wow.
You have to get her out of the room and everyone's gagging. It's real bad.
Wow.
So I don't know what that means. She's not crapping all over the place or anything. She just stinks. Ugh. I think it's stinky. Anyway, her flora and fauna could use a tweak. Let's put it that way.
She needs to lay off the roughage.
That's right. Stay off the roughage. let's jump right into one other issue that I've already totally forgotten about. Damn it. It was really important. Oh. Sorry. That's what this is. Okay. So Ricky Gervais's Derek.
Oh, yeah. Seen ads for this. I've not even seen a clip of it. I've just seen the photo, that bizarre photo of Ricky Gervais.
Kind of
that
looking.
Barely looks like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Going, doing what some would say. What was that movie with Robert Downey Jr. where he plays a black dude
Not Soul Man.
Soul Man. It's funny. My brain went to Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder. Yeah.
And there's that moment, and I'm quoting, so don't get mad at me or send me your emails. But he's talking about people when they play a handicapped person, they go retard, right? Again, yeah. a quote from the film. That's essentially what he was describing is what Ricky Gervais is kind of doing here. He's playing a sort of severely autistic guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is he? Okay. See, yeah. I thought he was just a worker at a like a nursing home or something.
Definitely a nursing home. Definitely works there, but also has something going on there. So you're right. You're half right. But it's a comedy, and it's also kind of a drama. It's kind of also a fake documentary, kind of office style thing. It's all those things. It's a little edgy in parts, but for the most part, it's really sweet and kind of nice. And it's got its hooks in. It's pretty deep. It's really good.
How much of a departure is it for Ricky Gervais's acting? Like, is it
Okay. Very different. It's him, but yeah. It's nothing like David Brent. It's nothing like any of his other characters or any of the other stuff he's done, like extras or any of that. It's totally different than any of that.
Now, you never finished Orange is the New Black, did you?
No, it's still in there. Well, this is me and the kids and Kim, the cousins. It's something for us to do because I'm not watching Orange is the New Black with Nick.
The kids don't need to see Orange is the New Black.
No, not into that. What's wrong with Captain Janeway, Daddy? We're gonna. Yeah, we pick what we pick, but we're laughing. It's really sweet. My daughter can't stop crying because there's these really kind of tendery moments in this thing with old people who are sort of there to die. And I don't know. It's funny. I'm so kind of hot and cold on a lot of Ricky's stuff sometimes. It depends on what it is, but I feel like this is something kind of special. So people should check it out. It's on Netflix now. The whole thing's there. Again, that's not great for younger kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, the language is a little rough. I think in Britain, dropping the F-bomb just isn't quite as rough as it is over here. But you get a bit of that. You know how it is. Primetime TV in Europe is like a totally different world.
But you're not
going to
see a woman stab another woman with a screwdriver and then go make out with a third woman in the shower.
No, that is not going to happen ever that I'm aware of. So we'll see. Speaking of Orange being the New Black, I don't know what that means. JJ, TMS is ultimate and original Black fan. What's going on?
What is going on, Scott and Brian? How you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Good. Black will always be Black.
Yeah.
Black this orange stuff.
Black. Black is the there new is, Black. Put it that way.
That is correct.
So
is
let
correct.
Me ask you, can I ask you a quick question about,
sure,
since we're talking about terms here, as a fine African-American Black gentleman in our country.
Mm-hmm.
The words, they keep throwing new words at people. Like in the 60s and 70s, if you were referring to somebody of your background, they would give you a name that now is really offensive. No one uses that word. You know which one I mean.
Yeah, colored.
But yes. Or the N-word, but not the N-word, the other one.
Right.
So those words now, I hear them and I go, ooh. That's a little bit rough. Back then, like you watch like a Civil War documentary, and all of the Black leaders of the time are using those words left and right as the common nomenclature, right? I understand the idea of a word having new meaning later on, like that retarded word we mentioned earlier, or all these other kind of words. I don't think you expected this when you called, by the way, but I'm giving it to you anyway.
But that's fine.
All right. So here's the big question. Is it more offensive, the words when they take on new meaning, are those more offensive than the fact that you keep having to have a label at all? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody looks at me and goes, oh, Scott, he's that white cartoonist that does podcasting. Yeah. No one says that, but they might look at you and go, oh, yeah, that's that Black dude that does that great podcast with his wife. That might be a common thing. So is that more offensive to you that you just have to have this thing heaped on you? Like when I say my Korean brother, I can't just say my brother. I have to distinguish him.
Right.
Does that offend you more than the actual words themselves?
I think, so at Dragon Con during the Jim Butcher interview, one of the guys came up and they asked Jim Butcher why, when Dresden describes women, he seems so honorable, but when he describes women, he seems so like a male chauvinist. I mean, he's talking about their boobs and everything else.
Right.
And Jim Butcher was like, and the problem is, you know, and the reason he said the problem is because he's in a detective mind and he's describing all these features, you know, that in his mind he's checking off.
Right.
So I think for me, if it's like that's that black guy that calls in the TMS.
Yeah.
You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Well, I mean
we do it for fun. We're like, oh yeah, TMS is original black fan with tongue firmly in cheek, you know.
It's funny though, when people come up and I guess they assume like when I was working the Frog Pants table, I had a bunch of people come up saying hi and stuff like that. And I'm not sure if they assumed I was JJ.
Oh, good point, like dude. That. Good point.
But I mean, that doesn't bother me. It's just how you treat me when you say that's that black guy. Now, I may jokingly say, what do you mean is that black guy?
Yeah.
Right. Just, you know, to pull the rug out from under you a little bit.
Sure.
And it's more of an observation. I mean, if you say it's that black fat guy, or if it's that fat guy that does the podcast with his wife, I mean, it really goes into context. That's what.
Right, but nobody looks really at me and goes, Scott Johnson. Oh, he's the guy with the really bad farmer tan and that funny wart on his leg. That guy. Oh, yeah, he's great.
Right. Right.
It goes
right.
all the way back to George Carlin. I mean, it's the words themselves are not the problem. It's the meaning behind them. Or it's the way they're intended. Yes.
Right. Right. I mean, one of the things that we taught our kids, was, you know, it's not necessarily the curse word. It's actually the use of it. I mean, fracking is just as worse as the other F word.
Right.
If you use it in the same connotation.
Yeah. Plus that show had moments where they would be used, like Colonel Ty would throw off a hardcore frack and you'd go, oh man, I feel a little dirty watching this. Like,
right.
Even though I know that word is not the word typically used in that way, because they are using it and acting out in a way that is harsh and kind of, you know, crusty. And so the intent really starts to come out of it. And that word takes on a whole new connotation. But back when, you know, Richard Hatch and Dirk Benedict were throwing it around in the 70s, it seemed dumb. It was like, oh, my fracking ship's a little shiny this morning. You know, it was like no big deal.
And I think Wendy covered it too when you all were talking about the white male privilege at one point.
Yeah, we did.
And
took a lot of heat on that, by the way.
You did. And I mean, she had a point. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there is that. I mean, there's male privilege. There's, you know, white privilege. I mean, heck, there's even some black privilege if you're in the right neighborhood. You know. I mean, but what it all comes down to is, you know, and I say this because I don't want any of my friends to get beat up for saying, well, Jay said, he said on TMS, it's okay for me to say, this stuff.
Oh, of course.
I mean, just be mindful.
Anyone with a brain knows you just, there are words you stay away from.
Yeah. Right. Right.
They're just associated with so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the idea of being able to sit down with JJ in an intimate way and go, all right, JJ, microphone's on. You and I are going to talk about the N-word, and we're going to talk about its origins, and we're going to talk about what it means today, how it makes you feel versus why some white people don't get why it feels that way, and exploring these issues. Like that to me is the meat and potatoes. That is the stuffed turkey of Thanksgiving. That is what that is good stuff to be doing, right? Nobody's doing that.
And I'll admit, with my raid group, not in the face, you all remember Loosh, right?
Sure.
So we're raiding, and we're all real close, and we're all real tight. And I got real comfortable. And I'll admit, I've used the N-word with the A at the end because, yes, there's a difference. as a term of endearment, I don't do it anymore.
Right.
Not as much as I used to. But I called Loosh the N-word because I was like, Loosh, you know you my, you know.
Right.
And I was not thinking. And the whole vent got quiet. And I was
sure.
I was like, oh, man. Yeah. I just let that slip. Yeah. And you know, I just got real comfortable. And then after that, I was like, hey, you know, I know I said it. And I was like, oh, man, did I just give everybody the keys to the kingdom to just let loose with the word?
Yeah, right. You never know what people's reaction is going to be. I mean, when we were running with Manny and he announced he was moving to St. Louis, my first reaction was, "Oh, dude, you can't do that. We don't have enough black people in Utah as it is what I
and
said.
And that's the right response. Mm-hmm. I would, you know.
And we laughed and we had a good time and it was great. So it's such a fine line. It's such, there needs to be layers of familiarity. Like, how well do I know this guy?
Exactly.
You can't just walk into a store and go, "What up, my nit?" You know, and let the word fly. You can't do that. But if it's if JJ's hanging around in the house and, you know, half a beer's gone and I've got a mouthful of Cheetos, I can probably be a little bit more familiar with JJ because we know each other. So these kinds of things are fascinating to me. Like, why is that different? Well, I don't know. But it's fun to, it's interesting to explore. And I'm these days, more than ever, I'm looking for less 140 character explanations for everything.
Right.
And looking more for real people, real experience. And how this stuff is actually, you know, how this actually lays upon the culture of this country and others. I think it's fascinating to me. Now, that's not why you called, though.
Yeah.
You called for a totally different reason.
I did. Well, one, you know, we had Bronco in town.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, he came down and saw us.
Don't let him slip you any nickels with holes in them, by the way.
He didn't. But he does, you know, that the Canadian $100 bill has the scent of maple syrup.
What? On purpose?
Intentionally?
Or is that just some kid just had it in his pajamas so all day?
Times that Tim Hortons that it just absorbs the smell.
Nah, there's a belief that they did put a hint of maple syrup into it. But because Bronco told us this, and we was like, come on, man, you pulling our leg. And we had to go search it because
that's awesome.
I was like, you're not going to have us saying that it smells like maple syrup.
Is that a real, and did it turn out to be a real thing or no? That's fake, right?
It's... depends who you ask, but the mint said they did not put a hint of maple syrup in it.
Because if by that theory, the Canadian government put a hint of maple syrup in my kids when they were three in their onesie pajamas.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then I have a confession. I have a confession.
Go.
All right. So I worked the Dragon Con table for Frog Pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple that was next to us. And then all of a sudden... the couple next to us said, "Oh my gosh, someone crop dusted us. Someone walked by and farted."
The cartoonist couple?
Right. And they're probably listening to the show right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and just say on TMS, I'm sorry, that was me that farted and I did not own it. and you know what?
We stopped doing the confessions last week. We,
So Renee, this is great.
So Renee's going to hear this. She's going to be like, "Jay, you really did that?" I'm like, "Yeah, babe, that was me." I mean, what do you do when you're at a conference and you're around hundreds of people and you have no escape?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This
is
the naked truth.
The naked truth about a Sandy hamburger.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude.
All right.
Nice job, man. Take it easy. Thanks for calling in. Racial justice for all right?
All right.
See you, man. All right. Good stuff.
Awesome. Yes.
I really like JJ.
Yeah, I do too.
What's not to like? I mean, could you find a more amenable, is that a word? Amenable?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Amenable.
All right, let me check the
judges.
Amenable?
All right, she says it is. Okay. That's amenable.
She says, all right, good.
Okay, a couple of quick sounds you'll never want to hear again. This is Tayson Day, clips of him doing that stupid song. All right? What's the song? What does the fox say?
The Fox, yes, by Elvis. Elvis.
Pointy nose. Let's see.
Big blue eyes, pointy nose.
Okay, it just is great. Here's another one.
Cat goes meow.
I wasn't aware of that. Cat goes meow. What does the bird say?
Bird goes tweet.
Okay, great. What does the elephant do?
And the elephant goes toot.
So does JJ, apparently, at a restaurant. Finally.
At the Frog Pants table, yes.
Here's the reason you never need to hear Tayson Day turn his head and breathe and then sing. What does the fox say? Here's right here. Oh, this will be all you'll need, and then you can never hear it again, okay? This is me all doing you guys a favor out there. This is it right here.
What does the fox say?
That is so bad. Come on, man. You said it on Twitter yesterday. The math doesn't work. You can't go meme plus meme equals better. It doesn't work.
Right. No. It's like I said, it's multiplying times zero.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Meme on its own, fine. Multiply times another meme.
All right. What a weird deal that is. Here's this.
Oh,
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brung to you by...
What Does the Fox Listen To? Another Way Around, Life and Gaming Podcast Deluxe. Visit awaycast.com to experience video commentary, live streams, interviews, and, of course, the Awaycast Weekly Podcast. The Awaycast runs regular contests with loot giveaways and will keep you humored and enlightened in both life and gaming. Oh. Go to awaycast.com.
Sounds good to me.
Oh.
Hello, Daryl. Good morning. How are you?
Oh. Hello.
Oh.
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 I love that I can change the entire tone of a conversation with you because I can play this and it sounds like you're on the phone.
Oh.
And it can just, it's just you. Or you can talk about Tinder things.
Oh. Oh, that's yeah. Tinder. Oh.
Daryl, it's good to have you back. It's Stump a Trek Nerd time. And let's Stump a Trek Nerd. While us three, we're three white men stumping a Trek Nerd. One of them, all of us are white. White as you can be. You know, the truth is, I think we should take, I think I should be discriminated against more for my whiteness. Because it's bad, dude. Have you seen me naked? No, but if you did, you would just be like, what is going on? What ghostly visage am I viewing in front of me? It's horrible. I look like a Finnish man with my little heartbeat. All right, Daryl.
Right.
Let's, you're the whitest guy I know in the Pacific Northwest, so here's your chance to really put it on the line. With a hard trivia question, Daryl comes on every day and does hard trivia for Star Trek-related questions. They are compiled by our friend Icewarm. Here is your question of the week or of the day. In the Next Generation episode, In Theory, Data reminds Jenna DeSora why she had broken up with her boyfriend, Jeff. This sounds like an awful episode. What was this?
I totally remember this.
Really?
She's like, oh, I wonder if I should take him back. Well, you did say that he was blah, 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 blah.
Oh, this is bad.
Yeah,
Data
yeah.
also say... Data. This says, Data also say... that throughout history, that many couple have had the same difficulties that Jenna and Jeff had. Which historical couple does he mention to her? He was like channeling that Twitter guy from
Confucius,
the other day.
Confucius, right. Data say.
Data say. Many couple have same difficulty.
We want Ding Pong. Ding Pong.
I can't bring it out. I feel too. It makes me feel racist today.
We've already stepped over that line so many times so far this morning.
Yeah. Let's see. A. Justine, and Theodora. I guess
Justinian.
Justinian. Thank you. Thank you yeah. very much for that. B. Mark Antony and Cleopatra. That reminds me of that. You never saw Rome, did you, Brian?
I never did. No.
There's a lot with them in that.
Mark Antony and J-Lo.
Yeah, you know the bad dude in the Kevin Bacon show?
Yes, yeah, The Following?
Yeah, that bad guy, he was Mark Antony, and he was fantastic in that.
Hmm.
Really good and evil and terrible.
Yeah, I hear good things about Rome and the Tudors. Can I watch those, like, can I alternate episodes of those and...
And be confused and think you just saw the same thing?
Yes.
The I think the eras are different enough that you'd be all right. Okay. And the entirety of the Tudors is on Netflix, so they'll help you out with that.
Cool. The Tudors has that gal from Game of Thrones, right?
She's in it. Well, she's in it ever so briefly for I think a season or season and a half. She's one of King Henry's wives that got the old chop, if you know what I'm saying.
Gotcha, okay.
She was Anne Boleyn, I believe.
Oh, well, do we know what happens to her?
And she looks identical to the way she looks in Game of Thrones. She hasn't changed at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she looked the same in the Sherlock thing, Elementary.
Yeah, she has a weird smirk on her face.
Yeah, well, it's a constant smirk. Like, she's always kind of got that look.
I feel like she's had some kind of palsy on her face. Well, I'm just saying, you know, like a temporary one, but it just changed the way she opens her mouth or something.
Why does it always have to go...
like the what,
to some sort of malady or problem.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Third Rock from the Sun's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
He has that too. He got a weird, like, left open mouth thing is like he's got a little palsy going on over there. Anyway.
Wow. Everything people say about the Tudors, just full of boobs. So I am so, I'm
you're,
in.
You're in, yeah.
Actually, that's all I needed to hear.
There was a lot about it I liked outside of that. I thought it had really good, I liked the drama of it. I think the acting was good and all that stuff. And it had Sam Neill's in it. Plays a cardinal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really interesting role. Yeah.
You don't see his boobs, right?
No.
Good.
No. You have to. You need to rent. What's it called? I lost the name of the stupid movie we're going to watch for FilmSack. Oh, Event Horizon. You get to see his boobs in that. No problem.
Great.
Dr. Grant's boobs.
Cracked boobs.
Daryl. So Justinian and Theodora, Mark Antony and Cleopatra, Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn, or D. Edward Rochester and Jane Eyre.
I forgot the question already.
I did too, kind of. I have no idea. See, Data reminds Desora she'd broken up with her boyfriend Jeff. Data also say that throughout history that many couple have had the same difficulties. Oh, and he compared them to this historical couple. So it's one of those four. While you think on that real hard. Oh, crap. I'm not ready for this. Here we go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
What's a foodie?
I sure am, and I'll tell you what a foodie is. It's a person who picks up a candy bar called the Widbay? Is it Widbay?
Widby. It's named after Widby Island.
Okay. Widby.
Yeah, that's where we go on many weekends.
When you're on the beach, that's where you are.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I've seen you do that in your vines and things. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh.
Let's open this up then, see what we got.
We got ice cream on Widby Island.
You've been there then?
Mm-hmm. No, I have.
Never been there. I've been to Seattle once, but didn't do anything. Hold on.
Tina was actually just out in Seattle, and big thanks again to Ken Cowan, who I think lives down the street from where Tina went for, she went to an arboretum while she was waiting for her brother to get off work on the day she arrived. So she's like, well, I've got a rental car. I'm going to go check out an arboretum. And apparently it's right by the address on the package that Ken Cowan sent these to us from.
Remind me what an arboretum is. My memory fails.
Like a pretty gardeny kind of place, a sort of a park, but more taken care of. Like you go there and look at these beautiful trees and
they're all well, like super sculpted and kept.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. We have a place called Red Butte Gardens. It's like that. I'm sure that would be also called an arboretum. See, this is good because these are words I haven't used in a very long time. It's kind of like yesterday's word. What was it, Daryl? You're making fun of me on Twitter about
the culvert.
Yeah.
I haven't used or seen the word culvert in literally years and years and years. And we have them around here, but nobody's ever talked to me about them. No one's ever, did you see the culvert today? Like, that just doesn't come up. So I feel like I'm being re-educated. It's like it's like I had a stroke and I'm coming back. That's what's going on now.
Yeah, all right. Fun.
This is dark chocolate, guys, and I don't like dark chocolate normally. Brian, I know, is a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But he also likes licorice, like, so do with that what you want.
Smells like an old lady's underwear that she's tried to make smell better.
What? Oh. Wait. That's something I would say. That's disgusting. An old lady's underwear that she tried that to make smell better.
Putting some kind of fragrance in it.
Okay.
Ice Worm, you got that one?
Yeah, Ice Worm. Dude, seriously. Your job is clear. You've got one job today, and this is it, okay? Pull that out and send it to me. All right, let's try it. I don't like dark, but my wife does, so she'll eat the rest of this, but let's just see how this is.
Although I can tell you already you're not going to like it.
Yeah, too bitter. I don't mind the goo inside, or the berry thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite as tender as last time.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh!
I feel like it's a... I don't know. I can't. I don't like it.
Kind of tastes like that underwear sweetener, too.
underwear sweetener.
Oh, that time they caught you in Sears and they had to kick you out. I remember that. Daryl was checking out the underwear sweetener. I don't know what the deal is with this dark chocolate thing in me, but I cannot. Especially really good, like what would be classified as super good quality dark chocolate, which I'm sure this is, just does not get along with me at all. Don't like it.
There's sort of a bitterness to it.
Oh.
If you don't like the bitterness.
I don't like the bitterness. It's
great. Totally love it.
Brian's going to down the whole damn bar in no time at all.
I think it's good. I'm going to vote yes on it.
All right. Daryl votes.
Oh.
It gives it three O's. All right. Good deal. Back to birthdays, or two birthdays now. Let's go down the path a little bit, turn to Daryl, and say, hey, who's having a birthday?
That would be Christian R. Conrad. He's 49 today. He played three different roles in four episodes of DS9 and Voyager.
Whoa.
Wow.
Busy man. And 49's a spring chicken. Yeah. He's fine. 49's the new 39, you know? Have you heard that? I've heard that.
Yeah, it is.
So they keep telling me. Excellent. Well, happy birthday to him. Does he do things now, or is he out of the business?
Oh, I didn't notice. He's probably doing stuff.
Well, good for him. May his future be as bright as I think it should be. Daryl, back to the question. Here's the couple that Data invoked. Justinian and Theodora. Mark Anthony and Cleopatra, Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn, or Edward Rochester and Jane Eyre.
I'm gonna say not the last one.
Okay.
And maybe B. So now what was A again?
Justinian and Theodora.
Who are they?
I don't even know. It's probably some famous couple. Who knows?
Okay, and I'm gonna wait. When C was what?
Oh, here we go. Justinian. Hold on. Flavus Petrus Sabbaticus Justinius Augustus was born in 482, born in 482 AD and died 565 AD, commonly known as Justinian the Great. He was the Byzantine emperor, kind of the original German people, right? Mm-hmm. From 527 to 565 during his reign, Justinian sought to revive the empire's greatness and reconquer the lost western half of the historical Roman Empire. And then his wife was a real pain in the butt, I guess. So there you go.
Well, she was his co-regent.
Yeah, for a while there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. He was the bubonic plague marked most of his time there. People blamed him.
Mm.
There was a guy named Preocupus, which is a fantastic name.
Preocupus. Yeah, hold on. I'll help you in a second. Hold on.
Where's Preocupus? I had something else going on.
He's busy.
Can't focus.
Oh, jeez.
I love that name. All right, Daryl, sorry.
I like those original names, too. They need to bring those back.
I agree. All the capuses of the of the old ancient Roman Empire, they were fantastic.
Right.
Nobody needs Bill or Jerry. All right.
What was that first name that you read? The
the Justinian, the real guy, or his real name, Justinian one, or Justinian the first, real name is Flavius Petrus Sabbaticus Justinius Augustus.
Augustus.
I don't know why that's so funny.
Not Augustus. The hell's wrong
with
me? If
you just cut the us's off, they might sound more normal.
It'd be Flav, Pet, Sabat, Justin, Aug.
Augustus Gloop.
Yeah, Augustus Gloop for short. Wow. Okay.
By the way, we're seeing a week from tomorrow, Tina and I are going to go see Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original, the Gene Wilder one.
Oh.
And in the audience with us will be Veruca Salt, the actress who played Veruca Salt, the actor who played Mike TV, and the actress who played Violet Beauregard.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be at the Alamo Draft House down here in Denver.
That's great.
And then there's going to be a Q&A session and meet and greet and all that stuff.
That's really cool. They don't get Gene Wilder back for things like this, do they?
No. No, I don't.
You said that with such sadness in your voice.
Yeah, I know. Gene Wilder's awesome. I would love to hear his take on the whole thing.
He doesn't do anything anymore. That kind of stuff. He's 80, by the way.
Yeah.
Hello.
He's.
Does that guy seem like a guy that would ever hit 80? He didn't to me. Like, if you say actors everywhere, you're like, oh, 80, sure, why not? That guy never seems.
Probably
like
if you saw
older.
Pictures of him. I'm trying to see what he looks like now.
Yeah.
But.
Love Gene Wilder.
No, it's funny. I mean, he does. He looks old, but it's really just his hair. Like, his face has stayed almost exactly the same.
Yeah, there's a pic. Yeah, he looks great. Well, there's one shot here I'm not sure about. He looks. You know what he? Oh, I'm gonna send you a picture.
Looks like kind of Eric Idle almost.
This is who. Tell me this doesn't look like Nicolas Cage in about 50 years. Hold on. Here,
okay.
I'm sending it to your thing. Chat room, I'll send it to you.
Okay. All right.
Tell me that doesn't look like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, it kind of does.
At some point.
Yeah.
Weird. His left eye's going funky. Anyway,
right.
Good luck to him. He's 80. Daryl, Justinian, Theodora, Mark Antony, Cleopatra, Henry VIII, Anne Boleyn, and Edward Rochester, and Jane Eyre.
What was B? I know you just said it.
Mark Antony and Cleopatra.
Oh, it can't be them. So, what was C again?
Distracticus. C was Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn.
I kind of like... Well, I was going to say B, but now I think C might be... I think C might be right.
Okay. C, Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn? We can ask.
Yeah.
We can find out. Judges know. Hey, judges.
Hey.
Let's, tell us what it is. Is it that?
Congratulations!
Nicely done.
You're a winner.
He mentioned this historical couple to her after he reminds her of why she broke up with Jeff. I'm reading these literally. In this episode, Data and Jenna start dating. This, of course, ends disastrously. Data gets into a lover's quarrel because he thinks it's part of the dating process. Here's a clip of that happening. Oh, boy.
What's wrong with you tonight?
My most recent self-diagnostic revealed no malfunctions. Perhaps there is something wrong with you.
I've never seen you behave so foolishly. Why are you doing this?
You don't tell me how to behave. You're not my mother.
What?
You are not my mother. That is the appropriate response for your statement that I am behaving foolishly.
Data, I think you should just leave.
You do not wish to continue our lover's quarrel?
Is that what this is?
In my study of interpersonal dynamics, I have found that conflict, followed by emotional release, often strengthens the connection between two people.
Makeup sex is what he meant. That's what he meant to say. Way to go, Data. And she's kind of dumb. The fact that she thinks he's really doing that. Come on, man.
The whole dating thing, like, that was just such a dumb premise to say, well, I'm going to date Data.
Yeah.
I'm going to date the ship's robot man.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Yeah. Daryl, good job. You did it. He always does it. Check him out at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, where he talks about Star Trek all the time. And follow him on Twitter at TheTrekNerd. All right, Daryl. You got a little quiz for us?
Yes. Is this a Star Trek alien or an actual mineral?
All right. Okay.
Byzantium.
Byzantium.
I'm going to say mineral.
Byzantium. I will say an alien.
Got it. It's an alien.
You know, the Byzantiums. Come on now.
Byzantium.
Yeah, they came in. They had two heads. And
Byzantine kind of.
Oh, right. The Byzantine mineral. The German mineral. You know the one.
Right.
Yavor! It's Das News.
And it's brought to you by accidentally juicing a rotten apple in the morning. Mm-mm, good.
I did that.
Ew.
Yeah, one of the apples a little weird. And so I got
squishy.
Slightly fermented taste to the fruit when I was done. Yeah.
Well, right. Maybe that's a good thing. Well, yeah, you had a little cider.
Yeah, it's probably the most alcoholic drink I ever ingested right then. Who knows? Didn't really get a buzz, let's put it that way.
Right.
Google Street View car was in an accident.
Uh-oh.
This just in. Beep, 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 beep. And no, we're not going to talk about the Navy Yard shootings because that's depressing and you can get that from actual news sources, everybody. Mm-hmm. We don't want to talk about that. I'm sick of that stuff.
And yes, they're still flooding in Colorado.
Yeah, flooding in Colorado. People still shoot each other for no reason. Mm-hmm. News at 11. Google Street View car hit two public transport buses and a truck in the city of Bogor, Indonesia. Would you say Bogor? Bogor?
Bogor? I don't know.
Bogor.
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 Bogor. Bogor?
Bogor? Bogor.
Bogor.
I don't know. Police said the car hit the first bus, appeared in panic when the bus driver responded angrily and tried to drive off. But in doing so, the vehicle got hit by a second bus and then a truck, according to local media reports. Beep, beep, beep. Dateline Bogor. It is unclear whether anybody was hurt in the scene. Google has confirmed that the incident has taken place. Quote, we take incidents like this very seriously. We're working closely with local authorities to address the situation. Vishnu Mumud. Head of communications for Google in Indonesia told the agency, the AFP.
I find it hard to believe that this hasn't happened before, that, you know, a Google vehicle hasn't been in an accident, because it seems like, you know, the thing, there's somebody driving around that thing all damn day long,
yep.
Right?
Even if they just got hit.
There's multiple ones, right?
Yeah. Even if it's just them getting hit by another bad driver. Like, I'm shocked that those things didn't.
Right. I guess it was the fact that it was the hit and run is the key.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Did they get it on cameras? What I want to know. Can I go right now and see?
There's like, yeah, the Google Street View has this guy looking back nervously and running away.
Yeah. I've told you about my neighbor. They blur people's faces now, so you can't tell it's him. But when they first did it in 2007, when they did our area, mm-hmm. This neighbor who doesn't live here anymore, but at the time did, was facing his yard, but had noticed the Google Street car, and so his head was turned almost like an owl, like all the way around looking at it.
Okay.
But he's got his hands down in his crotch like he's peeing. So it looks like he's standing there taking a leak on his own yard, turning his head and looking back. But really, there's what you can't see is like a hoe or a rake that's just extending outward, and he's holding it with both hands and just happened to look around less then. But it looks like he's peeing. It's fantastic.
I wonder, the neighbor that's given me the internet, I wonder if his Google Street View still shows him shoveling manure. I'm going to take a look.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think they've updated ours, so mine are no longer even what
they were. Nope. Still shoveling manure.
Great.
And this here, I'll send you I'll send you a link.
Send me that. Let's see what that is. Let's take a quick look.
See if I can. I won't do this for. Oh, hold on a second. That
just takes me to the thing.
Yeah. Hold on. There's a
to the stuff.
There we go. Paste in link. Bing. Copy. Paste.
Oh there gosh, there it is. All right.
See if
those links aren't big enough. there he is shoveling shit.
Like this right in the middle of a tossing of the shit.
Of a dumper.
Right? It's like coming off of his shovel.
And he's. Which side of the house is this from you? Are you on the...
We're facing this. We've got the house on the left.
Okay, I'm going to look over here. Well, look at your lovely abode.
Yes.
Lovely. What a lovely neighborhood you're in.
Yes.
It's very nice. Brian Ibbett out there in his slippers getting his mail.
If only.
That's great. Yeah, look at that truck loaded with poo.
Yes, exactly.
That's great. And that's the fun neighbor, the funny neighbor,
that's
right?
That's the fun neighbor, yeah.
All right. I love it.
Yeah, on our other side, we have Russians. I can see Russians from my house.
It's the matter-of-fact way you said it that made me laugh. On the other side, we have Russians.
Nice neighbor. Yeah, on the other side, we have Russians.
We have Russians.
No, they're nice, too. They're very nice.
In Soviet Russia, tree hangs on your side of the house or whatever. let's see. Anyway, so they're fixing it, and it'll all work out. Subway, you know, they make the sandwiches there. The Jared and his fat commercials and all that.
That's right. Yep. Stretching his pants out to show you how much weight he lost by eating the Italian 5-inch.
Dude went into with a camera and his friend.
5 foot. Foot long, $5, foot long. Whatever the hell.
Whatever it is. Measure them and they're not right anyway, so don't get too worked up about it. Guy goes in with his friend, a camera, and a fake coupon that was taken out of The Onion.
Okay.
That was a fake 9/11 coupon. And it literally shows these 2-foot-long sandwiches standing up like sandwiches.
Oh, no.
And this guy, well, you can see the picture if you click that. And the guy, and a guy flying in toward it. It kind of looks, you know, at least visually legit. And it has this quote on it. It says, from the structural steel melt on Tower 7, grain bread to the twin chowers, cold cut combo with ground zero, carb vinaigrette on a let's whole wheat roll. We've got something for everybody this September 11th, the promotion promises. You can get $9.11. You get, you know, whatever. It's super tasteless. Like, it's super tasteless. But they accepted it. Subway took it, gave the guy the deal. Because the kid didn't know.
Right,
how's
exactly.
How's he going to know? He barely knows that math homework is due on Thursday. How's he going to know this?
Boy.
Good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Squarespace sponsoring this program today. Squarespace.com. You've heard me talk about it this week already. I'll tell you again, if you want to get a fantastic way to host your website, that's not just, you know, run the website, create the website, like literally host it, do everything you need to do to it, get the domain for it, manage it, SEO it, all that stuff. Squarespace has all the tools you need. All you need to do at checkout is use the code morning9, and that'll get you 20% off your website and your contract that you sign up for at Squarespace. But don't worry, you can get a free trial, no credit card needed. Sign up for it first. Try it out. If you like it, and we know you will, use the code morning9 at checkout, and you'll get 20% off. That's a hell of a deal at squarespace.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
Trying to sell your house, have 2 sick kids, and watching your 3 nephews and nieces for 10 days straight. Excelsior!
I like that you jumped ahead and read Excelsior and then immediately knew that I intended you to
right
do the voice.
I saw right under the word trying, so...
Because when I put it in, down. I thought I should put it at the top of this dude
Mr. Mom Man!
All right.
Maybe we start with the powers and then see what the superhero name is going to be.
That's what we should have done. Billy Connolly. You're familiar with his work?
Yeah, I love Billy Connolly.
I do too. I'm a fan of his comedy. I think he's a fine actor.
British comedian. He was in that X-Files movie playing kind of a more of a serious role, the second one.
Yeah. He's in
Across the Universe.
Yep. One of the better roles in the Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events.
That's right. He took over for Howard Hessman for Head of the Class.
Yep. He did. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I think made it as good, if not better.
Yeah, and then they yanked it again, though, right?
Yeah.
Billy Connolly, let's see if we can get him to say something. See, just so people know. Here, I'll give you just a voice sample of him here.
One of the actresses brought a fart machine. It's a sort of a glass with, it looks like putty in it.
Oh, yeah, yellow, yeah, I got one of those.
And you shove your fingers in it. Right. And it's fantastically funny.
Yeah.
And one of the actresses was complaining, because we were smoking cigars in our dressing room. You know, Oliver Platt and everybody, we're all blown away there. And the smoke was going through the ventilator, and so this old actress was complaining. Until we went in with the farting machine, and Ollie stuck his bum in her door.
And he's telling fart jokes.
I love it.
It's great. I love his accent. Anyway, Billy Connolly has cancer. Sorry to bring it all down. I didn't mean to start us off
to rip the Band-Aid off. Jeez.
Comedian and actor.
Get you buy us a drink before you.
A little slow here, Scott. Yeah. Come on now. Had surgery for prostate cancer and at the same time was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Man. The operation was a total success, however, and Billy is fully recovered, says a spokeswoman. So the cancer thing, good deal, done. The 70-year-old Scott began working as a welder in the Glasgow shipyards, but quit in the late 60s to become a folk singer before turning to stand-up. He's also starred in films including the Oscar-nominated Mrs. Brown. I really liked him in Fido. He was the zombie in Fido. He was great.
Oh, right. Yes, the zombie movie. Yeah. Right.
Where he hardly said a word.
He was the pet zombie. Yeah. Yes.
He just grunted. You would hardly know it's him.
Billy. But he grunted with such a brogue that... Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy. So he underwent minor surgery in America after being diagnosed for early stages of prostate cancer, and he was swiftly charged a $50,000 bill. Just kidding. I made that part up, but that's how we do it in America. In addition, Billy has been assessed as having the initial symptoms of Parkinson's disease, for which he is receiving the appropriate treatment. She added, the star, we continue to work as normal. I mean, he's 70. Sometimes this stuff happens. But it's good to see he's going to be okay. All right. Now, to predictions that I made months ago.
Okay.
Wow. I had said, actually, the prediction didn't quite work. I had said, after Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth, the brother of Thor, not Loki, but Thor, the younger brother, the one that was in your Arrow movie.
Right.
Everyone had weird hair in the city. What's that movie called?
The Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, thank you.
Yes.
he was in that.
He was the not guy that that Katniss goes to the thing with.
Right. He's the guy who stays home in the town.
Right, exactly.
Keeps things under control.
Yes, we've seen it. Why? Why are you asking?
Yeah, what's your problem? I've seen it once, all right? I didn't read the book. It's officially over. Their engagement ended, done. Aww. Now, my prediction was that the marriage wouldn't last very long once they got married. I thought they'd at least get married. But it turns out, not even going to get that far. Reps for both Cyrus and Hemsworth confirmed to People magazine. It's all in caps. Exclusively, the engagement is off between the two stars. The news marks the end of a tumultuous year in which Cyrus, age 20, and Hemsworth, age 23, have experienced more breakups and bonding moments. The couple who first met in the movie set in 2010's The Last Song got engaged May 2012. At the time, the singer told People, quote, I'm so happy to be engaged. I look forward to a life of happiness with Liam, y'all. And then it all went to hell from there.
Aww.
Twerking did him in.
Yep, exactly.
But I what I had said on
the
show.
See the consequences from your twerking.
Yeah. And I'd said on the show, well, she's got a good twerk ethic, Brian. You got to have a good twerk ethic.
She twerks hard for the money.
You know what? There's both of those need to be written down so I can do a comic about it. Twerk ethic and twerks hard for the money. Right?
Twerks hard for the money, yeah.
Twerks hard for
somebody the money. Actually needs to just record that song.
Yeah, right? I'm telling you.
She twerks hard for the money.
What else? Oh, yeah. No, so my point is I had predicted it. It happened before I thought it would happen. But that's how this is. Did anyone in their right mind ever think that whoever Miley Cyrus marries, that's going to last, like be the venerable marriage that goes 50 years? No.
Right.
Nope. Not a chance.
Those two kids, they're going to go all the way.
All the way.
All the way.
Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's program. We're so glad they're on board and continue to be great. Got an email yesterday from somebody saying, hey, I decided to finally bite the bullet and get a pair of earbuds and see if what you've been saying is right. And he says, you are. They're fantastic. I love them. Keep up the good work. That's from Jeff. Well, Jeff and everybody else who buys these things. Five styles, seven colors. All of it's designed to sound great. Engineered for durability. The best support I've ever dealt with. That is the truth. Lifetime warranty on everything. Go get them right now. TweakedAudio.com is the place. The code is STREAM at checkout for 33% off. All right, Brian. Let's take a break. When we come back, Chin Beard will be here. The jury is out. He's got work, so he will not be here. But Chin Beard will be, and we're going to talk about his controversial Twitter follower count.
Wow.
And some other things, I'm sure. So let's get to that in a minute. Before that, though, a song. What do you got?
I'm trying to find the page. Oh, geez, I've got two copies of the same page. Hold on a sec. This will take just a second. Had the wrong thing up.
That's all right.
There we go.
I'll play this while you do that.
And the elephant goes to town.
Okay, here we go. Which one did we say? We said we were doing the S first, right?
No, you said W first.
W first. Okay, good. All right, good. Ryan emailed in, Ryan Johnson, but Ryan Smith emailed in, said, hello, Frog and Pants. My name is Ryan, and I hail from the lands of West Jordan, Utah. It's right in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of TMS, and I would like to request a cover. I've just recently revived the approval and recognition to start the project for my Eagle Scout. This is a big achievement for me, and I would love it if Brian would select a cover to play. I'm a huge fan of the local natives and would appreciate a cover of or by them, or an original song would be great as well. Despite the fact that Cleo duct tapes her offspring to various car seats, I still love the show, though. P.S. I'm 16.
Oh, that's cool, man. I used to live in West Jordan a while back, and I'm moving back to South Jordan if this all works out. So it's all Jordan all the time.
Yep. It's all Jordan all the time. Yeah. We'll be moving to the deluxe part of town.
That's right. Where all the Randys are. Yeah.
That's right. So going out to Ryan, I do have one cover by the local natives, but the good news is it's a really good one. It's a cover of Talking Heads, Warning Sign. This one comes from their 2010 album Gorilla Manor. Here are the local natives and Warning Sign.
Here you go. This is not my beautiful car. That's not this song, is it? This is not my beautiful
this
wife.
This is not that song.
Okay,
no.
Great. Because that's the one song I don't want to hear right now. Here it is. Good. It's Warning Sign. When we come back, we got all that other stuff I mentioned and your emails. Stay tuned.
Really?
It's because you don't hear stereo.
Thank you. Today, the United States is engaged in a gigantic effort to send men to the moon. For this effort, Pillsbury has developed many special foods. Here is the first one to be made available to the public, Space Food Sticks. To meet the demands of a long space flight, Space Food Sticks had to be a compact, nutritious, high-energy food. That's why they make the perfect between-meal energy snack. Energy for hard play. Energy for hard work. Lasting energy to feel alive. If that sounds better than some of the things your family fills up on between meals, you should try Space Food Sticks.
When you boss me around about the Go-Gurts.
I'm not angry. I'm passionate. Duh.
And we're back. Welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
That was an ethereal cover, wasn't it?
It was. It was very cool. And it's one of those songs by the Talking Heads, or not the, one of the songs by Talking Heads, not the Talking Heads, that's not as well known as some of their bigger hits. But I think that's what makes it really cool, is that you're hearing something like, oh, this is actually really, really cool. And unbeknownst to me, begins with a little bit of guitar work in an ear that I don't have access to via Skype.
Well, not your fault, obviously. For some reason, Skype won't send right channel or left. It's one of the, I forget now that I've just heard it, but one of the channels doesn't get piped through. So if there's, like, the Beatles would be terrible on our show,
yes,
because they have all those starting guitar riffs.
So many things, right.
And you'd be like, whoa, why can't I? You would have been the same way. So, yeah, kind of annoying. But there you go. We learn something new every day. Here is the total amount of songs I know from the Talking Heads.
The Walking Deads?
The Talking Deads. So here you go. Here they are. Burning Down the House. I know that one.
That's one.
And I know, this is not my beautiful car. This is not my ugly woman. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Oh, come on.
I can't think of any else.
Psycho Killer.
Oh.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? And what about, I got a girlfriend. She's better than that.
Keep going.
That's the hook. Jeez.
Okay, give me another song then, because I don't know.
I'll give you another one. How about We're on a Road to Nowhere?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, yeah. I know more than I thought.
Or And She's Flying Through the Grass, and She's Taking Off Her Dress.
Oh, you're like a jukebox.
And what's the one, Stay Up Late, about the baby?
Stay Up Late with the Baby. No.
Yeah, we're going to make the baby stay up late, and I can't think of how it goes.
Hold on. Is it? Oh, what about this one? Wildlife.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Did I forget about that one?
Yeah.
How about this one?
Hey! There's And She Was.
Okay. Yep. Slippery People. What's that?
Yeah, you know this one, too.
I don't know that one.
It's a live one, though, but you'd still recognize it.
I have a lot of live crap in here. I don't know why. There's Burning Down the House
Burning
live.
Down the House. Yep.
It's good stuff. Yeah, I feel like...
Naive Melody. How could I forget easily my favorite Talking Head song of all time, Naive Melody.
Sing it.
That's the one that goes, home is where I want to be, but I guess I'm already there.
Oh, that is a good song. All right. Oh, how about this one? That's not it.
Yeah, that's not one of theirs.
No, that's not it. All right. Time to call Bill Duran. He's the he's the fitness geek.
I forget. Yes.
I forget sometimes because you never know. Here's his theme. And he's with us now, Mr. Bill Duran. Good morning.
Hey.
What's the deal? Okay, I got to ask you this. Let's get this out of the way, because I know you have a little follow-up to thing from last week. And I don't know of a guy in my digital life who deserves more accolade and more followers on social networks than my friend Bill Duran.
Aww.
He's supremely talented, deserves every good follower he gets, and more. All right? So
any real follower.
Yeah, that's my stance on you as a person and as a creative force to be reckoned with on the internet. So all that being said, and it's an honor to have him here on Tuesdays, I noticed something. Mm-hmm. Bill Duran went from a respectable and growing Twitter followership to seemingly overnight about 35,000 people. And it clicked with me, like, what the heck is going on here? This is great. I was so excited for you. And I went and looked, and I noticed a lot of spam accounts.
Oh, yeah.
On your account. So do you know what happened? Did something weird happen? Did you put your name in a bucket that turns...
No.
Like, what happened?
No, I have a guy. I have a Twitter guy, mm-hmm. and he's taking care of all that for me.
Oh, gotcha. So. And what does he? Wait, he's like, you have a Twitter guy?
Oh yeah.
What does the Twitter guy do for you? What happens there?
I have a plastic guy. I have a silicone guy, and I have a Twitter guy.
Great. So you get all your silicone from your one
guy.
The
goal is to get as many engaged, not just followers, but just engaged people on Twitter as possible. And unfortunately, you end up casting a very, very wide net.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have to do some pruning.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely getting to the, it's about time to do some pruning.
Yeah. The twit, somebody recommended me to the twitblock.org.
Oh, yeah.
We'll let you scan and delete people, I guess. But it looks like you got to do them manually. Like, you got to go through and kill them all one at a time. That sounds kind of terrible, doesn't it?
I'll talk to my Twitter guy about that. See.
How did you even know there was a Twitter guy? How did that work out?
Oh, a friend of a friend sort of thing.
All right. That sounds all very secret.
Well, listen, it's not.
It's like you're trying to, like you got an NDA in front of you from your Twitter
guy. No, I don't. It's just a guy I met who handles and manages Twitter accounts. The goal being, like I was saying, not just to get a crap ton of followers,
right. Because
that's just a meaningless number.
Sure.
The goal is to get engaged people. And what's really great is over the last couple of months, not only have I got, more people following the work that I do, but I've got a lot more people who I'm actively engaged with talking about, how to make props and how to build costumes and stuff. And I get more feedback on the videos that I've been doing. So it's really, really good. But of course, the downside of that is I get a lot of spam. Like my direct messages on Twitter are nearly useless now because they're mostly spam accounts.
Wow.
So you got to kind of take the good with the bad.
Sure. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. It's fascinating. Yeah. I want to.
It was an experiment. Trying it out. See what happens.
All right. Well, good luck.
Those of you who use that Twit block, like what number do you do your cutoff at? Because I know it goes like, 50% sure that this is a spam bot or 60% sure. Like what?
Yes. I would like to know that as well because I'm doing a scan currently and I'm only at 4%. But
doing a scam currently?
A scan. Scam.
Oh, a scan.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm currently doing a scam. Brian, hey, I'm a Nigerian prince and I've got some money in a bank for you. That's my scam.
I'll tell you what. One thing that seems really weird is if you follow. So the idea being, you follow someone, and hopefully they follow you because they like the stuff that you like. They'll read your profile, and they're like, "Hey, that sounds prop making sounds really cool. I'll check out your stuff."
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll follow someone, and they will have an automatic thing that follows you and direct messages you that will send you to a webpage to find out if you are a bot.
Oh, wow.
But it seems to me like if you have a thing set up that automatically follows and direct messages someone, then you are a bot.
Yeah, that seems like
it's not like behavior.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
It is the whole thing. The system that is being gained by many out there is a funky system. Yeah. And it is what it is.
It's crazy, too. You can, and this is not what I did, but you can actually go straight up buy 10,000 Twitter followers.
Whoa.
And it's not useful at all. It's just to get a high number because people make fake Twitter accounts and then they'll say, oh, hey, 10,000 fake Twitter accounts, go follow this guy.
Yeah, and they'll do that because like if they want to get started and have somebody go, oh, these guys are legit, clearly they have 10,000 followers already. Right. I can see that.
Again, though, the goal is active, engaged users and followers.
Sure.
That's the ultimate goal. And that's a lot harder to do. And it's a lot harder to do, especially if you're trying to be like, I just want 10,000 followers.
Right. Man. Well, this says, by the way, just a quick update, Twitter API rate limit exceeded. Yep. Scan aborted after 1,500 users. only tagged 25. So I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, and who knows if some of those are real or not. So I'll go through it later. But interesting stuff. Fantastic little bit of info about the underbelly of the internet, everyone.
Cleo is demanding a confession from me.
Oh, do you have a confession?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's play
sure.
We need a confession music. Let's see. I don't remember what. I didn't. I thought I was going to use that you can't handle the truth thing, and I've since sort of blown that truth. Oh, I don't have anything.
Oh, no.
Here's a little bit of a song called Truth is Fantastic. There you go.
Yeah, All right,
there's your theme. Go ahead. Give us a confession.
All right. So when I was in high school, I worked for a guy doing eBay stuff. He had crap that he wanted to sell on eBay. But this guy owned a bar, And when I turned 18, I started working at the bar until I was, until all the way through college. But what I did was I grew a beard because that's my superpower. I can grow beards. Yeah. And I went to the bar to work at 18 with a beard, and no one asked me how old I was.
Wow,
so.
Nice. Well, now,
so I did that
now that's
like 3 years.
That's interesting. Did you have facial hair at a younger age? Did that help you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it just threw the beard on, and everyone assumed I was at least 21, and I managed a bar when I was 20.
It
was kind of
for
fun.
Me, it was a height advantage, so I couldn't grow facial hair till I was like 25. That's the truth. That was never a thing for me, but I was 6'4 at 18, or even 16, I think. So I was getting into places that were 21 and over at like 17 without too much trouble. Funny thing is I didn't really take advantage of it because I didn't drink. They were mainly like dance places.
Yeah.
And like, ladies and girls and things, you know.
I drank.
Yeah. That's, of course you did. Of course you did.
I had a key to the bar too. Yeah. When I was like 19 years old, I had a key to a bar. It was awesome.
My dad was like Sam Malone. He used to bartend when he was in his 20s and never drank. Not once in his whole life did he drink. But he ran this bar for like 5 years. Yeah. Crazy. It was like Sam Malone, except I guess Sam Malone was an alcoholic and then recovered and then never drank while he owned Cheers, right? Wasn't that the deal? Or something like that?
Right, that's right. Yep. Well, he didn't drink because he was a recovering alcoholic from his time with the Red Sox.
My dad just thought it was funny to run a bar and never drink. He just thought that was a hoot. Thought that was a real riot. But he could make any drink you asked for. I don't remember the names of them now, but when we were kids, he'd say, yeah, so this is a popcorn screwball Russian or whatever the hell it was called.
Could he make a grasshopper?
I'll bet he could. I don't recall that, but I bet he could. I don't remember
it
any
involves,
names.
It involves drambuie.
Ooh.
Creme de mint, creme de cacao.
Not a lot of demand for drambuie these days.
Drambuie, yeah. Isn't that this one of the sidekicks on Howard Stern's radio show?
Baba Drambuie.
Oh, Baba Booey. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
There you go.
I literally thought Drambuie was his name for a second. I don't really want to listen to that show. Okay. So Chinbeard is also the fitness geek. He comes on the show, talks about fitness and stuff, and we always look forward to his time here. So what do you got? You got anything for us?
That's why I came here. I remember now. Hmm. You can my superhero name now is Captain Backslide.
Oh no!
Yeah, no. The couple of weeks after Dragon Con, there's a real post con depression that you kind of go through.
Oh yeah.
It's a part of like, did that really happen? Like it feels like a fever dream after you get home from that. But I had trouble the last couple of weeks getting back into the routine. You know, before Dragon Con, it was super routine. Get up at 6, work out, eat, work in the shop until you pass out. Right. And it was awesome. It was structured, and I did it every day. But afterwards, I was like, I have no obligations. Woo! I'm sleeping in.
Well, I mean, don't you think part of the problem is you were so overworked ahead of time to get those awesome cosplay pieces of business done that you just, now that you don't have that hanging over your head, that's what happens to me. If there's a big project like that, I go into, people think, sure, Nerdtacular ends. Part of the reason I kind of hibernate for about 2 weeks after that is because I kind of had a giant hand in running it. And so when that responsibility is now gone, you just kind of go,
let my belt out.
Yeah, in good and bad ways. It's kind of good and kind of bad at the same time.
Yeah, I definitely feel like emotionally revitalized now. But also about 5 pounds heavier.
Wow, 5 pounds is no small piece of toast. That's a bunch of weight.
Well, here's the thing. One thing I did that was a mistake is I did not weigh myself for the last 2 weeks.
No.
Because I knew it was going to be bad news.
Yeah, exactly. If I don't know it, then it's not happening.
It doesn't count. But here's the thing, though. You need to get that bad news, and you need to get it as soon as possible so that you can act on it. So I weighed myself today, and I'm like 4 pounds up again. Of course, I kind of went overboard with the food this weekend. I think I'm still recovering from like the pizza I had and the not working out that I did. But I am back into my routine, and this is what I did too. This is a big step in the right direction. Yeah. I went to Goodwill to help my brother buy a table, and my wife found in this dusty corner of Goodwill a treadmill for $20.
Wow.
Like a plug-in, freaking fold-up, whole
raise and lower the incline.
Mm-hmm. Like a legit-looking treadmill. Of course, we had no idea if it would work. But we bought it and we put it in our little hatchback and had to like lash the door shut and drive down the highway because it was too big.
Right.
Got home, sure enough, it works. $20 cool. treadmill. And so I put it on the highest incline. I walk. It's a constant uphill the whole time, which sounds terrible, but it's a really good workout. So I get up right away at 6 a.m. and put 45 minutes in that thing. It's really good.
That's great. What a deal, though. My gosh.
I know. I wanted to get a treadmill. I was expecting to spend a couple $100, but 20?
Yeah.
Sold.
That's crazy. That's really cool. It's actually one of my big, we ended up getting kind of a big one, and I'm now worried about how to move it. Like, what a pain in the ass. I mean, yours is the smaller, like a smaller type one, right? Like, not a huge.
It's pretty big.
Is it? Yeah. So how'd you get it back? That's the big key, is getting it around, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the next time I move, if it's too much a pain, I'll be like, yeah, it's $20. I'm leaving it.
Good point. I think we spent like $600 and I don't know. I'd feel bad if I left it anywhere.
Yeah. No, this thing, I'll just leave it in the neighbor's yard.
Yeah. By the way, can I ask you a question about, so, all right, guys that go out and are just outside all the time. I don't mean construction dudes lifting heavy things or running up hills or pushing stuff around or any of that. I mean just guys who, let's say a realtor agent, because we've been dealing with those guys a lot. They're going house to house to house to house, putting tons of miles on their car. So they're in their car a lot, but they're also just kind of getting in, getting out. They all seem to be in better shape than people who are otherwise doing about the same amount of work but are kind of in an office all day. Is that just simply, like, if our lives were full of more opening and closing doors and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for the sedentary lifestyle where you're just in an office, you're sitting down all day, you're not burning any calories. I mean, even going up and down a couple of stairs and walking out to the parking lot to get in your car. I mean...
Right.
It's surprising how much more cardiovascular work you put into your job, even if just standing.
Yeah, just it's made a big difference for me, for sure.
Yeah. And if you're if you're also walking around, it makes a gigantic difference.
Yeah. Now, I noticed someone on the chat room yesterday said Scott sure is a busybody, and what he means is that's why I could never do actual live TV, because I'd be spazzing out the whole time.
Right. Yeah,
and it's hard for me to not do that. I guess if I had
you're
to,
constantly
I
could, rocking back and forth,
whacking this chair over here and just dancing and being an idiot. But I feel like that has contributed to my 20 plus pounds of weight loss in the last month or two.
The trouble is, it's hard to quantify that kind of activity.
Right.
You know, you could wear I don't know, like a pedometer might not really quantify that. It's hard to tell. So when you're comparing someone who's just walking from house to house to someone who sits in an office all day, you may not be able to like nail down how many more calories they're burning, but they are.
Right. The real trick is just don't sit so much. It feels like that's the answer. And even if you can't quantify it, a guy in a truck who drives all day, every day across city lines or state lines is going to have a more sedentary problem than somebody who stands a lot.
You can quantify the results, though.
Right.
You can do that. Keep track of all of your health stats, body fat percentage, weight, cholesterol or blood pressure, all that stuff. You can keep track of all of that stuff. And if you make a change in your life, you may not be able to, measure how many more calories you're burning. But if your blood pressure goes down, it's like, hey, all right, that's probably what caused it.
Yeah, indeed. Well, there you have it. Anything else in the mind of Chinbeard the Great today before we set you loose on the world and have you get more Twitter followers than you had this morning?
I'm just building crap, that thing I do. The last couple of weeks I have a bunch of projects that I've been, I have the list of, I'll do that after Dragon Con, list. I'm trying to chew through that list. Yeah. So,
did you ever do any WoW stuff, any Warcraft replicas or any of that?
Just the Warglaive that I brought to Nurtacular.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. You don't have that anymore, do you? I can't remember if you gave that away.
No, there was a giveaway.
The guy that got it, though, he was at Nurtacular this year. And he showed, I think I tweeted a picture back then about it, but he still got it. Yeah.
Do you have a ton of photos of that? I'm fishing for this because I want to feature you on a upcoming Instance TV and talk about that glaive and what it took to make it and you know, stuff like that. Maybe even talk about the lamp, or not the lamp, but
the Protoss
pylon thing.
Oh yeah.
Yep. I have a build right up on that on my webpage at punishprops.com. Whoa. Where you can go.
It's good stuff. I'll be in touch with you on that. I think that'd be a fun thing to showcase on there and continue your dominance in the world of prop making.
Yes.
Which is our goal.
I also built a couple of kits, like half finished kits from some of my prop making friends. So I'm working on the Skyrim Steel Axe and the Assassin's Creed 3 Tomahawk.
Oh, I saw some of that. Man, that thing looks good.
Yeah. And those are pre-made kits from some of my friends. I traded the Mass Effect guns for their axes. And now I finally have a little bit of time to put those together. And I'm video recording all of the progress and putting all that stuff up on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/punishedprops.
Fantastic. Sounds good to me. Bill Duran, take it easy. Stay out of trouble. Chinbeard on Twitter, although he doesn't seem to need any help with that. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Okay.
Nice.
Gone in 60 seconds. Ryan, let's clear it out with an email at the end of the show here, and we're going to end relatively on time this week. Fantastic. All right. Emails brought to you by
Coverville, where today we have a salute to songs with the word rain or flood in the title. Boy, imagine that. Wonder what spurred this on.
I love that you thought of that, though. See, this is where I suck. People are so, you're good at this whole, like, hey, turn it into a theme. I never think of that. That's a great idea.
And I'm hoping that it's taken with the respect and I'm not making light, because I mean there are still people who are who have no house right now and stuff like that, so I'm going to begin the show by making a donation to the Red Cross, and I'll encourage people listening while they're listening to that episode to do the same. I'm not going to do some big thing where it's like, you know, make your donation here and it'll be flagged with Coverville so they know where it's coming from or whatever. No, just donate, and if you can, and blah blah blah. But it's just going to be kind of a raise awareness, not like anybody's not aware of it.
Here, let me see if I can do some flood songs in my head here. Rain or flood, you're saying?
Yeah, but a lot more rain songs than flood. I mean, flood, you know, there's the Jars of Clay song.
I'm always happy when it rains. That one, okay,
yep.
Good I've choice. Seen
clouds, ice worm is really happy.
I've seen rain,
a fire and rain, is
fire and rain.
You're thinking of, right? Yep. Sure.
Rain drops keep falling on my head.
Good.
Rainy days and Sundays always bring me down.
Well done. That's a good one. Yeah.
Prince. Oh, Purple Rain.
There you go.
I would have not gotten that, but that's a good one. How about, hold on. Rain.
Bob Dylan's got a couple.
Yeah. I can't think of them.
He's got Rainy Day Women, number 12 and number 35, and Buckets of Rain.
And it has to be in the title of the song. It
has to be in the title, yep.
Okay, how about...
And I'm not counting things like Rainbow, like, you know, Over the Rainbow, or Raincoat, Famous Blue Raincoat. Those I'm leaving out.
I Am the Rain? Is that a song?
I Am the Rain.
Now I'm cheating and looking them up.
There might be a song called I Am the Rain. I don't know it, but...
Here comes the rain again. Can you do that one?
That's a good one, yep.
Yep. And then I'll try one more. Let's see.
A couple of Creedence Clearwater Revival songs, too, that...
Yeah.
I want to know.
Does it ever stop the rain? Or however it goes.
It's funny because you combine the two. They've got a song called Who'll Stop the Rain and Have You Ever Seen the Rain? So
I did combine them.
You sang the one with the other's melody.
That's pretty funny.
So
Mercy Rain by Peter Murphy. All right, that's the last one I got.
You're thinking of Red Rain by Peter Gabriel.
Oh, I have a Peter Murphy song called Mercy Rain. Hold on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's...
Because there's a Mercy Street by Peter Gabriel on the same album as Red Rain.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember this one?
Peter Murphy. Okay. Yeah, that's not right. The Peter Gabriel. Okay, Mercy Rain. Huh.
There you go. Two Peters. One will stand. Only one will live. Emails. Here you go. One email from WLG. Yo. Sounds like a rapper name. I'm WLG, straight out of Compton.
It sounds like a radio station.
I am the worst rapping sounding person. TMS. I heard an interview with an actor who played Harry Kim on Voyager, my second favorite Star Trek series. In the interview, he admitted that Mulgrew hated, straight up hated, that they brought Seven of Nine on the show.
Oh, wow, really?
She hated it so much that she was cold to the actress Jeri Ryan. In fact, there were so many episodes of Captain Janeway teaching Seven of Nine how to act towards people, helping her socialize, because the writers were trying to get Mulgrew to be nicer to Ryan.
Nice, that's hilarious.
And this according to Harry Kim.
We'll just put the two cats in a closet and they'll work their issues out.
Exactly. The reason the reason he gave for her attitude was that having a female captain was a huge step for TV and Star Trek, and that bringing in the supermodel as the cat suit in the cat suit undermined all of that. This kind of has a point.
Yeah, that is a good point.
And nobody has ever denied the fact that they brought Seven and Nine for the TNA factor later in the series. It boosted ratings.
It's completely the reason.
Yeah, so I can understand that. And she, after watching that Captain's documentary, I mean, she's a hard woman, that Janeway. She will stick up for things she might believe in. So,
and don't you complain about her food either.
What's her name in that show? Rico or something? What's her name? Who's she play? The Russian lady.
Red. Red is her. Yeah.
Rico. Jeez.
Rico.
Says, wanted to share mad love to the Frog Pants crew. Well, thank you, WLG, for your... You sound like a file extension in the 80s for some reason. WLG.
WLG.
Yeah, well, Windows ligamented graphic format.
Do you have anything that'll open a WLG?
No.
Can I convert that to a format I can use?
It's some kind of Windows format. This sucks. I need a TIFF. It's good old days. All right, that's it. We're done. Let's get out of here. And I want to tell you that tomorrow is a whole new show. And I want to tell you that Nicole will be here for Recommendals. And also Tom Merritt here for Tom's Tech Time, which is always an exciting day for all of us to be alive. I want to thank everybody involved with helping us on the show, especially you at home listening to the show. If you want to visit our website, you can, frogpants.com/TMS. There are links to everything we're doing, including our T-shirt, our store, and everything else. And shows and archives and everything else. Go check it out. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. And on Twitter, you'll find us at Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. All right. Looking forward to that Coverville. That'll be good. Rainy, yeah. Coverville. Wet.
Rainy day in Coverville.
Wet Coverville.
Probably Louisiana 1927, too, which is a Randy Newman song about the flood in Louisiana in 1927 that kind of resurfaced when Katrina hit. That song became popular again.
Right. Now I did just notice Lady Gaga has a song called No Floods. You heard this?
I don't have any covers of it.
Let's see. Let's skip ahead a little.
Goodbye.
Is that really her?
Now I'm the princess of a downtown train. Where everybody here they know my game.
She's kind of talented.
She is.
You know, yeah. Take away all the weirdness. This is how
exactly,
I feel about it.
Like her.
It's a Miley Cyrus problem. They all have these great talents, but they kind of hide it in weirdness. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, she was born in a big egg, Brian. It's my understanding.
She was. She was born that way.
Let's. Nicely done. Let's get out of here. Got a song for me?
I have a song for you. This one's going out to Jessica, aka Geek Girl. Now, Jessica requested The Fox. I mentioned this earlier in the show. She requested The Fox. We're going to wait until we find a really good cover of that song.
Sounds good.
Because I'm not going to play the Ylvis version. But Michael from Austria also had a request that was Geek Girl's backup song. He says, "Dear Sashimi and Bento, I'm a faithful listener." Oh, that sounds good. I think I'm going to go get bento for lunch. "I'm a faithful listener to your great show since week one and probably your first Austrian fan. Peter Hollins and Lindsay Sterling did a great cover/medley of Star Wars songs, with Lindsay performing on the violin and Peter doing the rest of the instruments with his mouth. I think it would be a great fit for TMS. Liebe die Sendung." Wait, hold on. Liebe die Sendung Trosdem.
Sure.
Which,
why not?
I think means love the show in German. Right. Love the show though in German. Yours, Michael from Austria.
Great. Austrians.
Yes. So, ta-da, Austrians. So, here are a medley of Star Wars songs performed by Lindsay Sterling and Peter Hollins. You can find this on iTunes and Amazon. Really good stuff here. And going out to Michael and Geek Girl.
Sounds good to me. Thank you guys for doing that. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a whole new episode of The Morning Stream. Be here. Bum, 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 bum.
Live from your grave.